Last Thursday, it was Thanksgiving holiday in many Western countries, America and Great Britain included. And it is the time when families gather in order to give thanks to God and to show their gratitude for all their blessings. And that is a holiday that I wish we in the Philippines could have. It is something that is very good to cultivate. But do you know what follows Thanksgiving? Again, in the West, it's Black Friday. Black Friday is the biggest shopping spree in the West. So you have here one day, thanksgiving, contentment, and gratitude for all the blessings of God, and just less than 24 hours, a stampede for all the bargain that shops offer. And you see here how changeable the human spirit is. It can pose to be very grateful one time, and then the next, they show their hunger for material things. Napaka madaling magbago ng diwa ng tao. And it is in the midst of that that the church is sent in order to proclaim an unchangeable message. And this is what we are reflecting upon in this anniversary month, that God has sent to us, has given to us some unchangeable messages, some unchangeable mandates. And of course, everything is rooted in the God Himself who never changes. So we are addressing the theme, no shadow of turning. That is our God. Other creation may have their own way of change, however imperceptible, but in God, there is no such change. We just sang the God of Abraham, and indeed, the God Abraham worshipped is still the same God today, no change of character, no adjustment to the times, He is still the same God. And that is the kind of God that we are proclaiming to this world, and that means we must have this as the root of everything we do, the God who never changes. We may well change if our God has changed, but He has not. Hindi nagbabago ang Diyos. Maaring magbago ng mensahe ang iglesia kung nagbago ang Diyos. At yan ang inaakala ng maraming, ngunit walang katotohanan yan. So our God is without any shadow of turning, so the church must have some definite and unchangeable message to this world. And given the fact also, as we saw last Sunday, mankind itself has no change as far as its sinful condition is concerned. Granted, there are changes as far as the manifestations of such sinfulness are concerned, but the sinful condition still is what characterizes man. Yan pa rin ang tao, makasalanan. Kung hindi mo pa hinarap ang katotohanan na yan, na sa harap ng Diyos, ang katayuan mo ay isang makasalanan. Kung nagpupumilit ka pa rin na ikaw ay moral na tao, mabuting tao, nagkakamali ka, ang katotohanan mula kay Adan ay kasama niyang inihulog sa kasalanan ang sangkatauhan. Now, it is, as I've said, to such a humanity with an unchanging God that the church is sent. And I would invite you to turn your Bibles to two texts in the New Testament this afternoon. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 3. Familiar statement of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. The second passage is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 17 to verse 22. Ephesians 2, verses 17 to 22. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. There is a connection between these two texts. The first text is Paul's job description for Timothy as he sent him to Ephesus. So we are reading a text from Ephesians. Timothy was sent, in fact, to Ephesus to make sure things are in the right arrangement, in the right order. He was Paul's apostolic representative. And Paul is telling Timothy that there is an expected conduct, an expected behavior in the church. Notice that he uses the word ought, dapat. May ugali, may kilos na dapat isinasakatuparan sa iglesia. Hindi ito isang bagay na kung anong magustuhan ng mga miyembro o kung anong magustuhan ng mga lider na mangyari sapagkat ganun ang gusto nilang pakikibagay sa paligid. Hindi ganoon. Ang sinabi ni Pablo kay Timoteo, make sure that the way church life is conducted in Ephesus is according to its identity as pillar and ground of the truth. This is an ought. This is an imperative. Now, the second text is about one particular mandate of the church. So, in Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, the church has imperatives when it comes to what it should be, what it should do. Mandates, we call them. Now, in Ephesians, one particular mandate that is stressed is the church in its temple identity, and that is the mandate of worship. So joining these two together, I have this message. For the church has God-given mandates, and the supreme one is worship. Ang iglesia ay may mga mandatong bigay ng Diyos, at ang pangunahin dito ay ang pagsamba. The church has God-given mandates, and the supreme one, the supreme mandate, is worship. Now, for your information, I have asked our speaker for the Thanksgiving service next Lord's Day to dwell on the missionary mandate of the church. So I'm not forgetting that, but perhaps he is better placed to address the subject of missionary mandate. My purpose in this final message of this brief series is to show the unchangeable mandate of the church and that the supreme mandate is worship. Two things, therefore, that I want to stress. First, church mandates are God-given. Ang mga mandato ng iglesia ay bigay ng Diyos. Church mandates are God-given. And secondly, the first mandate is worship. Ang unang mandato ay pagsamba. The first mandate is worship. The first thing then, as Paul tells Timothy, church mandates are God-given. Now, churches around the world are getting to be very sensitive to what the world is saying of the church. And so, many churches have an aspiring goal of becoming wanted by the world. Gusto nilang magustuhan ng mundo. And they are reformatting the identity of the church as seeker-friendly. Gusto nilang sila yung hinahanap ng mga tao. Gusto nila na sila ay magustuhan ng madla. So they want to be a church that the world can be considered like them. And therefore, they could attend comfortably, no threat on their lives of sinfulness. And that's how many churches are thinking of their role. And this is where we need to recover what Paul is telling Timothy, that a true church has a God-given identity which defines its mandate. May pagkakakilanla ng iglesia at ito ang magdidikta kung ano dapat ang mandato ng iglesia. Look at the way Paul identifies or describes the church, pillar and ground of the truth. The message of truth defines us, defines the church. It is not what sort of members we gather. It is not the amount of offering that we collect. It is not the kind of society we live in. what the church should be is defined by the truth. Kung anong iglesia ay kung ano ang daladala niyang katotohanan. And Apostle Paul uses here the metaphor of a construction. Just as there is the foundation, and then that makes the building stand, and the whole superstructure, you need pillars and buttresses. Well, that is what the church does. In order for the truth to stand, in order for the truth to have a structure that the world can identify, the church must be faithful to its God-given mandate. A church that is sensitive to what the world is saying will not use the truth for self-identity. I remember many years ago when the bishops of the Catholic Church met, they decided to be known as the Church of the Poor. Oh, that is great marketing, but that is not the truth. That is not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, certainly the Church will have its ministry of benevolence to the poor and needy, but more than the poor and needy, the Church is sent to sinners of this world to proclaim to them the truth of the gospel. Well, others try to reformat their identity so that they can be liked, especially by millennials. And they want to transform the church as cool, and millennials can be comfortable with that. Make it a place where young people can gather for their gigs. Make sure nothing threatens them or pushes them out of their comfort zone. And to speak about sin, that's not cool. And so try to avoid that. Or use another vocabulary. To tell them that fixation to their gadgets is escaping from reality, that's not comfortable to them. So again, avoid such truths. We can give them all they like, but that is not the New Testament church. And therefore the choice is, would we be the church of Jesus Christ defined by the truth, or are we after and aspiring for the world to like us? Well, we can be liked by the world by a good testimony without turning our back to its mandate. You probably watch very often the spokesperson of the MMDA, alas tuwing umaga na interview siya, that's Celine Pialago, and she's very calmly to look at, but more than that, she knows her mandate. She knows her task, and whenever a question is asked of her, she answers very intelligently. And so serious, and a spokesperson who can be winsome and yet knows the mandate by which her agency stands. And that should be the people of the church. We may be winsome in our testimony, but as a church, we have a mandate we need to pursue, and we cannot turn our back to that mandate. So I challenge you in this anniversary month that as a church, let us accept what is assigned to us, resisting the pressure of conformity. Tanggapin natin kung anong itinakda sa atin at labanan natin ang anumang mga pressure para tayo ay makibagay sa gusto ng mundo. Many young people today are being misled to think that they are the nonconformists. And they think that by cutting holes in their jeans and some tattoos to boot, that makes them hip. I said this morning, nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But if you think that showing your nonconformity, that is wrong. The true nonconformity is the courage to do where everyone else is doing the opposite, proclaiming a message where everyone doesn't want to hear it, and standing by the truth when people love compromise. In every generation, there will be challenges to conform, and the call for the church is to hold fast to the truth of God. And for 37 years, there had been unbelievable pressure to conform, that we needed to confront, that we needed to resist. Probably many of you do not know, we began as a church with a challenge by some beloved brethren to just remain as a para-church organization way back in 1981. The call by many was, it's more cool, it's more winsome to others to just remain a para-church rather than follow the New Testament principle of a covenanted gathering of people as a church. And we resisted that. And since then, every age, every stage of our history, there are challenges to conform. And it is by the grace of God that we still define ourselves today by the truth of God's Word. And I hope we remain that way still by the grace of God. You need to ask yourself, are you a member of this church because of the truth? Ikaw ba'y naging bahagi ng iglesyang ito dahil sa katotohanan? Hindi ka nahila, nahatak dahil may kaibigan ka o dahil may mga pamilya ka, kundi sa iyong personal na pasya, nakianib ka, nakipagtipanan ka dahil sa katotohanan. At may mga pagkakataon na ang paghawak sa katotohanan ay hahamunin, mas maging ng mga kapatiran na walang maturidad. This is what happened. I often tell you the story of Jonathan Edwards when he insisted that in the church, those who will partake of the Lord's Supper should be visible saints. That is, those who demonstrate in their lives that they are true people of God. He stepped on many feet of influential members, and before he knew it, he got kicked out. He got excommunicated. A faithful preacher standing by the truth, not welcome by his own members. Well, I am glad that that is not something I hope will happen in this church. But the point is that that's what the church is. Our mandate is God-given. We do not form our mandate by taking a survey as to what people like. We take our mandate from what God has already said the church is, pillar and ground of the truth. So that should be considered God-given, not formed by whatever is popular. But then the next point, and I want to stress this, the first mandate is worship. Ang unang mandato ng iglesia ay ang pagsamba. I'm using the word first, not in terms of sequence, but in terms of rank. In other words, worship is the most important mandate. It is paramount. And Reformed confessions show this by having a chapter that was separate from just the church. Most other confessions, they just lump together all the mandates, including worship, under the category of the church. Reformed confessions put a whole chapter just for worship to make known that Reformed identity is in the importance it gives to worship. Yung mahalagang pag binibigay nating halaga sa panambahan. And in our Ephesians text, we are told the specific type of building. In 1 Timothy, Paul uses the construction metaphor in a generic way. Now in Ephesians, he tells us what sort of building the church is. And that building is the temple of God. Of course, it is not referring to the building material structure. It is referring to the people as a church. What they are in God's mandate is, it is to be a worshiping community. The basic identity of the church is as a worshiping community. Ito ang pinakapayak na pagkakakilanlan sa iglesia, sumasambang komunidad. This has been displaced in today's churches. Again, out of their desire to be considered relevant, some have totally changed their first identity. Some have become entertainer church. In every meeting that is called service or praise or worship, praise and worship, you will surely get a full dose of music and choreography. But that's not worship. If you are looking for an honest exposition of the word, you'll be in the wrong place if you are in an entertainer church. The more noble ones may choose some good things as their first identity. I mentioned those who consider themselves church of the poor. They want to be identified in terms of their benevolence and compassion. Or others will say this is a soul-winning church and their main identity is evangelism. We are not against those. We are not against benevolence. We are not against compassion. And definitely we are not against soul-winning. But we must stress against this shift of the church's identity. The church is first and foremost a worshiping church. Before it is soul-winning, before it is compassionate to the poor, before it is benevolent to the needy, it first has something to do with God. When God is not first in the church, other activities will only become cover-ups for a fatal inadequacy. When music defines the church, and definitely I'm not against music, but when music defines the church, it will leave people musically inspired, but without dealings from the Word of God. When fellowship is first, people may find it enjoyable to spend time together, but again, no word. And such a fellowship easily erodes into gossiping and backbiting. What did Paul say the church is? He says, a holy temple in the Lord. Imagine in the temple having parties and dance together and all those things that may be legitimate some other place, but not in the temple. In the temple, it should be worship. In the temple are sacrifices and offerings to God. And that means in New Testament terms, Hebrews 13:15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. We no longer offer burnt offerings of animals. But God still expects that in His temple there are sacrifices, but those sacrifices are of praise. The gathering of the church is to exalt God and to worship Him. And what is the chief privilege of being in church? Well, Paul says in our Ephesians text, through Him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. He's still using temple metaphor. Just as priests can enter the holy place and the high priest entered the most holy place, now Paul says, it's now we. It's no longer just the priestly privilege of the sons of Aaron. It's no longer just the privilege of the high priest. It is now we. How are we to do it? Through Him, we now have access. That is the chief privilege. And what brought about this distinct identity of the church as a worshiping temple? Well, again, Paul tells us, He came, that is, Jesus came, and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. He is saying in the context, both Jews and Gentiles were converted because they heard the preaching of Jesus. Now, how was that possible? Jesus never went to Ephesus. Well, obviously, the explanation was that in the mind of the Apostle Paul, where there is true, genuine preaching, Jesus Himself is proclaiming in His prophetic office the Word. What does that mean in worship? Worship will have to be dominated and centered upon preaching of the Word. And yet, people today are dull of hearing. That is the reason why they want group dynamics. They want special numbers. They want all this paraphernalia of worship, but they don't want this monologue coming from a man. And I refuse to accept that description. The most active part of worship is hearing the Word of God. Don't you ever yield to the delusion from the enemy that you are just passive. Worship will be profitable or unprofitable based on how you hear, kung paano ka nakikinig. At kung ang pakikinig mo ay wala sa loob o tinutulugan mo ang pangangaral, ay talo ka na sa panambahan kahit pa magsumigaw ka sa pag-awit, nawala sa iyong pakinabang ng pagsamba. So, give yourself totally with all your heart to the work of hearing the Word of God and to the worship of the church. Now, unless you are a fan, you probably do not know that there is an ongoing World Chess Championship and it's about to be concluded, and so far they have drawn all their games. But imagine these two, Fabiano Caruana of the United States and Magnus Carlsen of Norway. Certainly they will give everything of their preparation for their match. And that's chess. I would have loved to be there, but still, you are coming into the presence of God. And people who play chess are prepared more than many of those who come to worship God. That is not right. So I challenge you to give your best participation in the worship of the church. I ask you, are you really a participant in the praising of the church when we sing? It's a real challenge. Because I see people who just watch and probably hear what's going on, but they do not participate in the singing of the church. That's not right. The church worships God, and you are part of the community of worshipers. You should be part of the praising community. You are not lost in true awe and wonder that God is condescending in the very hour of worship upon us. If you are just a spectator, but your most demanding participation is going to be, as I've said, in the hearing of God's word. That's when infernal enemies, the enemies that come from hell, are most active to make sure the word does not profit the hearer. And your stance in hearing is going to determine whether you gain or not in any gathering of the church. And if only we realize that we will not get this kind of meeting anywhere in the assemblies of the world, only in the assembly of the church. So for 37 years, we kept worship our main identity, and preaching remains central in our worship. I do not claim that preaching in this pulpit always rises to the level of quality worth hearing, but it is the word. That is what has been preached here for 37 years, and may that continue many more years. When I studied in England, I had a home church there. And when I went back there, I was asked to preach a series of messages. I love going to that church. It is the Wattisham Strict Baptist Church, the home church of Pastor Brian Ellis. And what I love being there is that it is a church that has been there since 1763. That's 100 years before Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. And for those many years, they have been gathering. When you attend the church, many are seniors, old people. And yet they sing with gusto and with joy in their hearts. You can say whatever you may criticize of it, and I have mine, but what you can say of the church is that it is a worshiping church. Whatever it lacks, it is a worshiping church. So whatever change happens in the years to come, may we continue to be what we have been these 37 years and only grow as a worshiping church. We sang a while ago, the God of Abraham. Well, that is the wonder of worship. We are worshiping the very God Abraham once worshiped. And as we sing our last hymn, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, I told you before that the one name that is most associated with God in biblical history is that of Jacob. He is more known as God of Jacob more than any other name. And that is because Jacob was among the patriarchs, the most undeserving, and yet God loves to be known as the God of such an undeserving individual, and He wants to be known as the God of grace. He is still that God of grace, and though sometimes we feel unworthy of what we do, yet we are drawing near to the God of Jacob. Let us sing our last hymn, God is our refuge and our strength. Let's close in prayer.
Dakila naming Diyos, aming mapagbiyayang Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa pananariwa ng katotohanan na Ikaw ang nagbigay ng pagkakakilanlan ng Iglesia, at wala kaming karapatan na ito ay baguhin upang makibagay sa gusto ng lipunan, sa gusto ng mga tao na ayaw makinig sa mensahe ng Ebanghelyo at ng kasalanan. We pray, Father, that we may continue to hold fast to the mandates of the church as defined by the truth, for we are the ground and pillar of the truth. And we pray, Lord, that truth will be the most important commodity that we traffic in as a church in this world. May we not yield to the pressure of conformity just because we want the world to like us. It will never be that way for a faithful church. But under Your blessing, such a church can still win sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the power is with You. And of all the mandates that You have given to the church, the first, the supreme, is that of worship. And Father, there will always be the temptation to treasure more other good things such as benevolence and fellowship and soul winning. And important as they are not to take the place of paramount place for worship. So grant, Lord, that our church will continue to be known more than anything else as a worshiping church, a church where God is indeed in the midst of her. We pray, Lord, that continually in the coming years, that will continue to be our identity as a church, worshiping. Challenge each member to be truly a participant in the task of praising You, exalting Your name, and above all, in the hearing of Your word. Help us to give our best participation in the hearing of Your word. And if there is anyone here who is truly Yours but does not belong to the church, may You give conviction that a true child of God will be together with the people of God. And we pray that as a church, we may continue to be worshiping the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. He is still, You are still, that God and our God and the God of this church. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.